to the Lord today. In Jesus' name, you've been so good.
So good, Lord. I'm undeserving.
I'm unworthy of this new life, this new beginning that you've given me.
Hallelujah. Now we're living a testimony in Jesus' name of your power. In fact, to read it in Psalms chapter 40, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and established my goings. And he had put a new song in my mouth. Yes. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that he put a new song? A song of the world, a song of your old man, the song that you used to sing. Hallelujah. That's gone, and now there's a new song. And the Bible said that it is even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's lift that new song to him again today. That praise, that worship. Hallelujah. Lord, where I used to sing a song glorifying myself, my flesh, glorifying everything that pertains to everything but you. Lord, now I praise you. Amen. I've got that new song of worship today. Let's worship with Jesus. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise
him.
Away, so come on, sing to him and say, Lord. have left this morning, God. Hallelujah, Lord. I don't want to worry about anything else for a few minutes today. I don't want to worry about anything but you. I want to please you, and I want to give you pleasure, God. I want to worship you in Jesus' name, and I want to be open that you can speak to me. You can talk to me today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's so good to be here, of course. And we've had a tremendous time in this month. And it's, of course, it's probably one of the saddest parts about evangelizing is that my father-in-law, he used to evangelize. He'd say, you love them and leave them. And that's kind of what we do. And this is going to be, unless something drastic happened, this is going to be our last Sunday here with y'all. And we'll be here, of course, Wednesday. We've had a tremendous time in the church. I want you to know that we do. We love you. And we appreciate all that you've done for us, for our family. And you've been so kind, so kind. And the food that's been brought, and the cheesecakes, and the basket we got here, tremendous. And fellowship as well. And we're excited. We're excited. And we've seen great things happen already in this revival. And if you get the Holy Ghost, and if you get baptized, saw a miracle, a lady get healed of cancer in this revival, and just tremendous things that God has done. Hallelujah. But he's not through yet. We're still here this morning. And I believe God can heal somebody today. God can heal somebody a hunger or desire to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And the only name with power, the only name with authority. And of course, the scripture said that there is none other name under heaven. Hallelujah. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Jehovah salvation, Jehovah Savior, Jesus. Jesus, if you'd stand with me this morning, and please turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. I'm going to read a few verses here. I have never preached from this passage before, and I've never preached anywhere what I'm going to bring to you this morning. And God woke me up early, and about 3:30 this morning with this on my heart, and I was actually going to preach something different, and so I just couldn't get away from this burden. I believe that God wants to speak to somebody this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I do give great honor to your pastor, Brother Newman. And we love him, love his family also. And we've gained not just a better acquaintance, but a friend in this revival, or friends, I should say, in the Newman family. And we do love them very much also. Ezekiel chapter 47, and verse number 1. And we do verse number 9, maybe a little bit of reading. But he says, afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Hallelujah. Hear the water. This fount is flowing. Ezekiel's getting a vision. And it's a vision, of course, of the temple, of the tabernacle. And here in verse 47, he sees from the altar there's a water flowing. There's an issuance of water. Verse 2, he says, then brought me he out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Everybody say, to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits is about 560 yards. And that's about 5.5 football fields. He measured another 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Everybody say, to the knees.
To the knees.
Getting a little bit deeper the further they go. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the loins, the waist. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out towards the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything which liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Hallelujah. What a vision. What a vision. Lord, would you let that living, water, would you let it flow through this house today? I pray, God, through every life, every family, every home that's represented here today. We need that living water. We need that healing water. And would you let it sweep through us today, God? Lord, you said it ran through the desert. Let it run through the desert of my life today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
You can be seated for just a few moments today. Good, of course, to see each and every one of you here. And if this is your home church, Lord bless you. If you're a guest here, I, of course, have not been here long enough to know exactly who here is a regular, who's not. But this is the right place. This is a good place into this church, the house of God. And we felt tremendous anointing in the services that we've had privilege to be a part of, and the opportunity to be to worship God with you. And this is a good church, a good church. But what a powerful, powerful vision that Ezekiel had here. And there's, of course, probably 1,000 different messages that you could preach from it. And this vision of a river, I believe that it is spoken of throughout Scripture, and this very same river that Ezekiel got vision of. In Psalms chapter 46, we read a psalm by Korah, the praise leader of just under Asaph in David's court. And he wrote in verse 4, he said, There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Hallelujah. There is a river. There is a river. Thank God for a river that flows today. Jesus, of course, himself spoke of living waters. And he told the woman in Samaria, he said in verse 14 of John 4, he said, Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. Not a pond, not something stagnant, not a marsh, not a mire, but a well springing up and flowing. Hallelujah. Living, alive, waters that are alive, even in the John's vision of heaven and his revelation of New Jerusalem to come in the very last chapter that's written in the Bible in Revelation 22. It begins, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. I want to see that river. Someday I want to make sure I leave this house repentant and baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost and ready to go, that I can see that river. And when we get to heaven, of course, I believe that the centerpiece, the Bible said that the Lamb will be the light, that Jesus himself will be the light of that city. And so there in the very center, his throne. And we're going to see coming out of that throne a river. A river going straight through the city and right through the tree of life and right through those passageways, those streets. Hallelujah. God, I want to see that river. But friend, that river isn't just in heaven. That river isn't just in the great beyond. Because that river that flows from the throne, it
flows to the altar. Every river, it flows out from the altar, out to the way. We can get in that river today. We can get in that river. We can drink of that river. We can let it refresh and cleanse and heal today. I'm thankful for that living water. Hallelujah. So much to be gleaned from this passage. I couldn't even hope to touch on it all in one message. But there are some significant things, I believe, that that God can show us this morning concerning this river that Ezekiel saw and that others wrote about and talked about. Number one, these were running waters. They flow. They're not stagnant. It isn't stale. It isn't dead. It isn't a pond. It isn't a slough. Really, it doesn't even say that it's just a spring that's self-contained. No, but it's a river. It flows. It's springing up. It's overflowing. Hallelujah. They flow. Number two, these are increasing waters. This river, as it runs, somebody once said, I was reading some of Matthew Henry's commentary, and he said this. He said, the further it goes, the fuller it flows. The further it goes, the fuller it grows. Unlike a natural river that grows only as streams and other tributaries join together and give it more and more, and then it might eventually grow into something great. This river only has one source. From that source, the altar. That source, the altar of God. But the further that it goes, the further it runs, the fuller it increases. It increases. Unlike that natural river, as far as we can tell, the only source of these waters is at its head. It is at the initial fountain, that altar of God. However, instead of dissipating and evaporating and dispersing as natural waters would, this river grows deeper and greater and fuller. The very farther that you go in it, ain't that the way that the Holy Ghost is? Ain't that the way that living for God is? Ain't that the way that grace is? Hallelujah. The more that you need, the more that's available. Grace abounds. The Bible says where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. The further I go in it, the longer I live for Jesus. That's an old hymnal that says it gets sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. It gets richer, it gets fuller, it gets greater, it gets sweeter. Increasing. Increasing. We also read that these are healing waters. This river as it runs, hallelujah, it's a river of life. It's a life-giving flow. We sing the song that says sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. Hallelujah. He said wherever this river flows, whatever it touches shall live. At the end of verse 9 in our text, he said, it says that for they shall be healed and everything shall live whether the river cometh. These waters of revival, these waters of deliverance, hallelujah, they take things that were dead. They take souls. I preached a few weeks ago about the God of resurrection. This is that river that flows from his throne. This is that river that flows from his altar. I can get right at the fount today if I want. I can get right under the spigot today. I can get right at that altar. Come on, God, I need that living water. I'm dead on the inside. I need to be alive. And whatever that water touches shall live. Would you let it flow in my home? Would you let it flow in my marriage? Would you let it flow in my children? Those healing waters. Hallelujah. Number four. Those are three kind of descriptors of it. But the fourth thing I want us to take notice of is that we can get in that river. We can wade in it. We can walk in it. And what's more, it's up to you how deep you want to go. It's up to you how deep, how far you want to go. How much deliverance do you want? How much revival do you want? Amen. For the title of this, I'm real bad at about title of messages, the poor guy that archives them all, he's always having to come up. Now, what was the title of that one? Well, if I could title this anything, it would be, I don't want an ankle deep revival. I don't want an ankle deep. Yes, it makes a why whatever it touches. I don't want to just get close to it. I don't want to just get my feet wet. How many people, they come to church and they hear the songs and they hear a few good messages and they're touched and they like it, and maybe life begins to spring up in their life because of it. But they just got their feet wet, and then they're satisfied with that to turn and walk away. No, but what did Ezekiel say? He said, hey, the more I was walking, the deeper it was getting. The more I walked in it, the more I followed the direction. The more it had a direction, it had a place it was going. When that river was going, it started getting deeper. It started getting deeper. Before long, I'm wading in the goodness. Before long, I'm wading in the life. And then pretty soon, it's over my head. I'm swimming in it. I'm underneath it. I'm overcome by the flow, the waves of life. Hallelujah. That's what I want. I want ankle deep deliverance. I don't want partial revival. I don't want partial deliverance. So many, they get satisfied with that. They are content with that. They hear a sermon, they cry a little bit, and then they get their feet wet and go home. And maybe that's all it takes for some people, but that's not what it takes for me. Come on, I don't want just a touch today. I want to be inundated. I want to be covered. I want to be all the way in the church. Into this river of life today. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. And then we'll go back to this river here in a second. But we find a similar motivation or lack thereof at the bedside of a dying Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 13. And you could turn with me there if you want. I'm going to read a few verses. It says, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And so here he is, he's on his deathbed. And Joash, the king of Israel, comes to him. It says, Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the kings, and he said, to the king of Israel, put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. Hallelujah. Which way did the river flow? Eastward. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. He said, open it eastward. God has a direction. God has a plan. When he comes back, when Jesus comes from his church, for his church, what direction is he going to come from? Eastward. From the east. East points towards God. East points towards God. Now, maybe not literally. Maybe that's just figuratively. But throughout Scripture, the east has always been where help comes. The east has always been where God comes. He said, hey, you look up to the east. You see those hills. You see those mountains. Come on, you know Israel is. And I haven't been there. Some of y'all, I think, just recently made a trip. And I'd love to see it. I'd love to see Israel. Of course, it sits on the Mediterranean to the west, and the mountains lie to the east. That's why we read time and time again, look into the hills from whence cometh thy help. Look to the east. Look where help comes. He says, hey, king, open the window eastward, and I'm going to put my hands on your hands. And we're going to let loose that arrow. He said, it says, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. It says, and he smote thrice
and stayed. And even then, he must have just kind of half-heartedly took the arrows and just to kind of humor this dying prophet. He took them and he just kind of hit the ground three times. And he stopped, and it says the man of God was wroth. He got angry with him. And he said, thou shouldst have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. You really didn't want any more than that, and that's all you're going to get. All you're going to get is what you wanted out of it, King. If you would have put your heart into it, if you really would have got serious about it, you would have had complete deliverance. But as of yet, you're only going to have partial deliverance, partial revival, a partial healing, a partial breakthrough, an ankle deep revival. Oh, come on, that's not what we want. That's not what I want today. Hallelujah. Come on, hey, any Holy Ghost is good Holy Ghost. Any anointing of God on my life is good. But I don't want to seek only and be content only with the bare minimum to keep me in church. I don't want to be content with the bare minimum of a walk with God to keep me from backsliding. But David said, my cup runneth over. Fill me up, God. I want every bit of deliverance you have. I want every bit of healing that you have. I want every bit of life that you have. I want it all. I want it all. I'm not content just getting my feet wet. I'm not content with partial. Partial. There's a story that really, if you think about it, it's, I don't want to say bothering, but it's a story in where Jesus partially heals a blind man. Partially. You say, now why would Jesus even bother healing something if he wasn't going to do it all the way the first time? Mm-hmm. I think the answer is because he was going to see what that man would be content with. Right. If that man was content being partially healed, that was the only healing he was going to get. Right. I believe when Jesus asked him, you read it. It's found in the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 23. It says, he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and he said, I see. Yes, I see. But I see men as trees walking. Yes, I see, but something's still not right. Yes, I've got a touch. Yes, God, you did something for me. But I know it's much better than it was. Don't think I'm ungrateful, God. Don't think I'm ungrateful, Jesus. Yes, I see. But I still feel like things could get a little clearer. I still feel like there's more. I still feel like there's more that you want for me. And I'm not content with this. I'm glad. I'm thankful. I'm grateful for the miracle that you wrought. He said, but Lord, I still see men as trees walking. Come on, come on. Jesus was waiting on that. He was waiting to see if he'd be satisfied with that partial revival, with that ankle deep revival. Verse 25 says, and after that, after what? After that man's statement, after that man, after he said, God, is there any more? Can I get some more? It says that Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes and made him to look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Come on, God's moving in your life, yes, but don't stop. Don't stop. Yes, God's doing things. Yes, things are better than they used to be. Yes, God's helping you, but don't stop. Don't stop. Come on, there's more. Get deeper. Keep pushing further. Keep pushing deeper. Get it all. Get it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want a little kiddie pool revival. Amen. You can't have any fun in the kiddie pool. Man, you get some pool noodles, what you need to do? Just sit down in it, kind of splash a little bit. Ankle deep, calf deep. That's not what I want in God. Hallelujah. I want an ankle deep experience.
Right.
Lord, I know that you've so much more. And I believe in your word. You showed us what we need to do. We need to just keep walking. We need to keep pushing. I can't give up. Ezekiel, he didn't stop after it was ankle deep. He said, man, this is great. I know you're still walking east, but I think I'm happy right here. He didn't go a little further and said, well, this is far enough. We walked now 1,100 yards. We're over half of a mile downstream. I think this is good enough right here in this knee-deep water. Go another 1,000. Now they're right at a mile. And it's waist deep. No, he kept walking. He kept pushing. He kept striving until eventually it's over his head. Eventually he's swimming in the goodness of God. He's swimming in the grace of God. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you've already received the Holy Ghost, or you're seeking the Holy Ghost. Don't stop.
Right.
Don't stop. There's more. Keep pushing. I love what your pastor said a few services ago. How when you receive the Holy Ghost, that's not a check on a checklist. And it's done. And now I can just relax. Now, of course, you probably will relax because it feels good to get the Holy Ghost.
Right.
But push on. That's the beginning of the journey. That's the beginning of what God has for you. And it gets better. It gets better. Come on, saints that have had the Holy Ghost 40, 50 years. Why are you still here? It's because it got better and better. Why are you still here? Because it got better. And why are you still pushing? Why are you still being faithful to God? Slip up and turn around and walk out on God. It wasn't because they were swimming in that life-giving flow. I promise you. It's because they got their feet wet. Their mom said, well, that's good enough. Oh, deliverance? Sure, I'll take some of that. Yeah, it's good. Feels good. No. I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. God, wash over me today. Wash over me this morning. There's a deeper experience. I'm not discounting anybody's relationship with God. If you have a relationship with God, praise God. Bless you for that. Bless you, but you have not attained. Come on, you have not. I have not attained. What did even the Apostle Paul? We're talking about a man that wrote 13 books of the Bible. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended. That's what he said. He said, I count not myself. I haven't made it yet. I'm still pushing. I'm still swimming. I'm still pushing toward that mark. There's that eastward mark. I'm still pushing toward it. I'm pushing. I'm striving.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
My God.
Maybe even if you've had the Holy Ghost 4 years and got a renewing in this revival, maybe a touch, maybe even a miracle in your life. Don't stop. Don't stop. There's more. Come on, there's more.
Yes,
there's more.
Yes,
Sister Clark, would you come to the music today?
Yes.
Get it all.
Hallelujah.
Don't stop at your ankles.
Jesus.
Don't stop at your knees. Don't stop at your waist. Don't stop when it's neck deep. Let it cover you. Let it wash over you today. How much do you want? Come on, how much do you want? What do you need God to take care of this morning? Is there anything that blind man, he was saying, hey God, I'm blind. Would you touch my eyes? He brought that need before God. And then when it was touched, he was grateful for it. He was thankful for it. But he said, God, come on, I still need you. I still need you. I need more. Need more of that sweeter life-giving flow.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
More of you. More of you. Jesus, I want more of you. Would you stand at your feet this morning? Hallelujah. 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 Press on. Push on. I promise you, it gets sweeter. It gets better. A lot of folks, when they first come to church and they get a revelation, there's been people that have maybe they've had some sort of a walk with God, but it was in a Well, maybe some, you know, some denominational setting somewhere, not a lot of life. They get a taste of this. They see the water flowing from the altar. They get a little touch in their life, and it does something for them. And somehow they don't make the decision to go deeper. To go deeper. Hallelujah. There's so much more. There's so much more. Hallelujah. Would you walk with me deeper? Would you walk with me deeper? In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I know we walk in the direction that it goes, but we can also walk to the very fount today. Where did it come from? In the vision of Ezekiel, where was that? Where were the headwaters? I've been up elk hunting, up in the William O. Douglas Wilderness. This is where my dad's always hunted, towards Mount Rainier. And the Bumpin River. I've walked right to the headwaters. It's a river, 30, 40 feet across, a few miles downstream. But my dad and I have walked to where it is a trickle running out of a rock, right to the headwaters. Hallelujah, Lord! I'm walking right to the headwaters today. I want you to flow over me. I want you to gush over me today, Jesus. I need this life-giving flow today. I need it, God. I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of being upset. I'm tired of being angry all the time. I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of pain. I'm tired of worrying. I'm tired of emotional death. I'm tired of the physical death that I feel creeping upon me. And God, I need that life today. I need those living waters today. I need that living flow today, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. I read the song to you. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. Oh, again. Oh, there is a river whose streams. Come on, would you step into the water with me today? Would you step into this life-giving flow with me today? Tell them, God, I want more, Lord.
There is a river
whose streams may pass the city of our God.
So I will.
I will rejoice and be glad. All the song says, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I'm in this life-giving flow today. Oh, in this joy-giving flow today. Lord, yes, it came. It came and it healed me. It came and refreshed me. It came and washed my sins away. So I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. I thank you for this river of life this morning, God.
I will rejoice.
Oh, I will rejoice. Today.
Be glad.
What you've given me, Lord. Oh, there is a fountain full of grace,
and it flows from the manner's veins.
Oh, there is a fountain
full of grace,
and it flows from a man who faith.
It came and it healed me.
It came and refreshed me.
It came and washed my sins away.
So I will rejoice. I will rejoice. need you today. I need a deeper walk. I need a deeper walk with you. I need a deeper walk, Lord, today. Oh, there is a river
full streams,
made black the city of our God can see. There is a river whose streams, don't verbatim. This is what the Bible says. This is what the scripture says again, Satan. Oh my God, oh there is a river
whose streams
make glad
the city of our God.
Come on, lift your hands today. Tell him today, I'm going to rejoice in what you've done in me and what you're going to keep doing in me, God.
I will rejoice.
I will rejoice.
I will be righteousness, for they shall be filled. Come on, if you're not thirsty for it today, if you're not hungry for it, if you're satisfied with ankle deep, if you're satisfied with three hits, if you're satisfied with a partial healing, I guess this message isn't for you. But if you're panting after them, if you're hungry, if you're thirsting for them, if you want more, if you want a deeper walk, if you want a closer walk, I do, forgetting those things which are behind, guilt and shame, he said, in reaching for it, hallelujah, to those things which are before, I press toward the mark, the high calling, hallelujah, Jesus,
rooms. Can we sing this song one more time?
Oh, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God.
Oh, Cole, I got vision of what you said.
There's a river.
Oh, I wanted that river, God. I wanted God. I'm tired of this desert. I'm tired of this wilderness of my life. I'm tired of this wilderness of my world. But God, I need that flow. I need that stream right now, God. I need more of it. I need more of it, God. Oh, we'll get in there. There is a river.
The city of our God.
It came and it healed me.
It came and it healed me. It came and refreshed me. It came and washed my sins away. And I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. It gets deeper, it gets better, and God's calling me this morning
deeper, sweeter, fuller. Hallelujah, Jesus. So let's come back Sunday night tonight, 6:30, in the 6 o'clock prayer, ready for a move of God. Is that right? 5:30 prayer, 6 o'clock church. I need to not ask him. Remember, you guys messed up the first service I was here. 5:30. 6 o'clock, ready for a move of God tonight. Jesus said, let's go deeper in it. Let's go deeper in it today, oh Jesus. And Lord bless you. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Shake hands, be friendly. Greet one another. Any announcements? Prayer only Tuesday night. And we'll be here with you Wednesday night. Prayer Tuesday. In fact, I might not even be here Tuesday. Pastor and I, we're going to be in Winnemucca hanging sheetrock, looks like, on Tuesday. And it's going to be prayer only Tuesday night. I'm ready for a move of God Wednesday. In Jesus' name. Lord bless you. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Shake hands, be friendly. Greet one another.